Now, this episode of Flight Risk brought to you by our lovely sponsors at...
Currently in its sixth season, Redemption is the longest-running Star Wars RPG actual play podcast out there. Our storyline has taken listeners on a journey through the Clone Wars via an eccentric crew of characters and their cargo ship, the Kralitz Fang. Currently crewing the ship, we have the Duros Captain, Tazi.
That captain is me, Tazi. Ensign Tazi is the captain of the Kralitz Fang.
The Twi'lek Jedi Knight, Karel.
Oh yeah, sand is the glitter of desert planets.
The astromech droid, R3A1.
I haven't been touched by a Wookiee like that ever.
The Bothan negotiator, Quinth.
When it comes to my alcohol, I tend to take whatever's available.
And the Zeltron enforcer, Zahn.
But I want to be friends with everybody.
With over 100 episodes in our back catalog, as well as season recaps available, you can start at the beginning or jump into the current season. There's no wrong way to listen to Redemption. Check us out on your podcatcher of choice or at redemptionpodcast.com.
Hey, flight fans. GM as always, Dwayne here. My pronouns are he and him. This episode of Flight Risk stars...
Pulling in tonight's session is Matthias Grelli, returning as Greve Ondola. Tess Kokio returns as Obanike.
Let's buckle up. It's time for another Flight Risk episode.
A long, long, long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away.
Greve and Obana find themselves deep within a Sith research facility where scientists have been conducting experiments on the native fauna of the planet. Will these two mercenaries fight to free the poor experimented on animals, or will vengeance fill their hearts and they will strike down the scientists?
Three scientists that are kind of panicked, and they just kind of look, see two of their dead friends, and they're like,
oh, no, 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 please, 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 please don't shoot me, please, please, I'm too unknown to cease living, I have the universe to discover, please, 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 I want to see, don't cease living, for all the probability, please, let me leave!
I think that I'm going to step forward, mm-hmm. And I'm going to convince them all to get into one of the cages.
Okay.
Together.
You can try.
You can definitely
try. So would
that
be like, would that be coercion or?
Are you trying to be like really nice thing? Hey, we're going to let you free if you follow us, or if you don't get in the box, we're going to kill you.
Yeah. How are you trying to play it?
Yeah. I think it's like, if you don't get in the box,
okay. So if it's bad cop
on the ground.
Yeah. If it's bad cop, it's coercion.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to try that.
Okay. Let me look up. So we'll just say it's a two purple check against this guy's discipline. I will give you two additional blue for the two dead bodies that they just saw happen.
All right. So and I am going to flip a light side.
All right.
Ooh.
So I am going to go ahead and roll that. Yes.
Hey,
whoops, I just knocked my mic.
All right.
Got
so
excited.
One yellow, two green, two blue against a two purple. We got two success and advantage. So yeah, these scientists, they don't want to die. Evil scientists are not, they're not fighters. They know these two gunslingers are ready to take them out. So are you telling them to get like in the animal cages, or are you just telling them to go sit in the back of that flatbed?
Oh no, I'm making them get into a cage.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to use that advantage to, like, once they're standing in there, like, glare at one of them and point at the key ring on his, like, belt.
Uh-huh.
And I think he's going to hand it to me, and I'm going to lock them in there.
Okay, so you're locking them in. So you're not taking them with you. You're locking them in an animal cage off to the side somewhere.
Yeah, in an empty animal cage off to the side.
Sure. Yeah, this animal cage is just awkward where, say, these guys are about 5'7". It's like a 5-foot cage, so they can't really stand up. But there's too many of them, so they can't really sit down. So they're all kind of hunched over uncomfortably in this little tight little cage. All right. So the scientists are away. There is, you guys can now see the cages they were at. There are three kind of smaller creatures. They're maybe about the size of your Loth Cat, Obana, but they're like jet black creatures that look sort of like a lizard and a scorpion put together. Ooh. It has the four legs, got that kind of snoutiness of like a gecko, but it has like a scorpion's tail on its back, and they're just scurrying about back and forth. And as you get closer to it, Obana, you just know with your connection to the Force, there is some seriously weird Force energy coming off of these creatures. And you can see on the label or placard or whatever on the little cage, it's Force augmented creatures.
Yeah. I think as soon as I like kind of feel, I think I feel it before I read that. And I think I'm going to like stumble backwards and I'm like, nope, nope, no, I'm outie. This is all you lizards are you. I'm not touching them. Not dealing with them.
Look, it's fine. They're in cages.
Deal with these things.
They're in cages.
I'm not touching.
I'm not asking you to touch the things with the stingers. I'm asking you to touch the things on the branches.
But you hear one of the scientists.
Please, please, please don't take the monsters. They're force adapted monster thingies. But we've been working on them for so long. Please, no, don't take them from us.
Done for what?
Look, Demoff, they wanted us to figure out a way to give force powers to people that didn't have force powers. So we are trying to figure out with the Foreign Scare and the Yisamari and their connection. And we kind of made these little things and, you know, sometimes it works and other times it kind of kills you with the venom. But you know how science is. If you survive the venom, then you get some kind of weird connection to the Force that you didn't have before. And so it sort of works. And if everyone could have the Force, imagine how amazing the galaxy could be.
Are these things like some weird-ass hybrid that you made?
Yes. These are we've taken some DNA from other animals, we've spliced them together, and these are the first combination that have actually survived and thrived and lived to adulthood.
I would like to set them on fire.
Wow. Wow. That's a left turn. The science.
These things are not right. They're not right.
This is our life's work.
This is playing with the Force in ways that you should not be. These things need to die.
All right. Look.
These hybrid things, we can save the ones that are natural to this planet. That's fine, Grave. I have no problem with that. No problem at all. Nope. Not okay. A single problem. These things, these are
okay.
So messed up. We got
Obana. Okay. I get it. Just cool your jets. And Grieve turns to the scientist. How much did this place cost?
Like this entire facility? The Sith have been paying for everything. It's thousands, not millions of credits. I don't know.
That's my point. Someone's paying you. So you're standing there, well, crouched there, cage. You're crouched there, and you're telling me about the work that you're doing is going to democratize the Force. But people are paying you to do this. They're paying you to give everyone the Force. Or are they paying you to make whatever the hell that is? As he points to the terrifying lizard scorpions.
It's It's not fair that some people can use the Force and others can't. Wouldn't it be better if everyone could use it?
No, I mean, that's fine. No, but I think the people paying you don't care about that. And I know you probably care about it, but I don't think the people who are paying you care.
They're, sorry, Obana, they are getting like more and more agitated, and they're like, these things are going to, they have put everything out of balance. It is out of balance. It is not right. We've got to get rid of these things. We can set the ones that are natural free, but these things are not right. And yeah, I think I need to set them on fire. I need to do something. I'm going to take action, and I'm going to kill them.
All right. So any kind of like medical equipment, maybe that would make this easier.
like sedatives or something, like putting down a dog or something.
Yeah. Something like that.
It's a medical facility. I mean, would you guys know what the proper dosage of a sedative or what you could, I mean, I'll say there's definitely vials and there's medications and things about. These are scientists. They've probably had to put animals down that didn't work, and they just mentioned that they've tried this on people who have died. So they've probably put people down as well in this process. Yeah. So there's probably sedative about.
I mean, I do have a little bit of training in medicine. So.
Yeah, I'm also trained in medicine. I have two yellows.
Oh, well, then you're more trained than I am.
So I think I'll just see if there's like some kind of, I'll see if there's some kind of like, are they in a type of cage like that is it like a grated cage or is it like a terrarium type that's like glass and like you would lift up the top and we could like.
It's a grated cage. It's like a. Yeah, like a large dog carrier or dog kennel type thing.
So we would have to. How many of them are there?
There's three inside of there, and they're moving around. They're making like kind of hissing, and you just hear their little spiked tail just spiking around.
Everything about them.
Yeah, they're scurrying about the cage or crawling up the side of the cage.
All right. I'm gonna
go find the drugs. You go find the drugs. I'll go get the less scary lizards.
Yeah, those can be.
Right. The and then Grieve goes off to do that while Obana does their thing.
Okay, as soon as he's turned around, I think I'm going to instead of using medicine, I'm going to use perception.
Okay.
To find something flammable to kill them, to just like light them on fire, kill them.
Okay, yeah, you can do either perception or survival because you're looking for something, so I'd be okay with either one of those two skills.
Yeah, I'm going to do perception, so that is...
We'll say two purple because they don't necessarily have the flammable stuff out in the open, but you probably could find something that's flammable. I mean, chemicals do burn.
Yeah, and I actually get... I have two ranks in keen-eyed, so I... I remove a black die per rank from perception checks, but it decreases the time that it takes to search.
Yeah, so definitely.
There's at least that. So nobody's going to come and interrupt this.
Yeah.
So, okay. Look for something flammable. Yes. There you go. Four successes.
All right. Four successes. Yeah. You find some little container that has something you recognize from your previous adventure. Something you know that this stuff burns super hot and super fast. What they were doing with it, that's a question for the scientists for a later day. But yeah, you found at least a concoction or one certain chemical that you know will burn very hot and very fast.
And some match type things or whatever.
Yeah, there's probably a Bunsen burner or something like that you can use.
So I think the scene goes like this. Like I think that Grieve is off like, you know, packing the good lizards, like the not messed up with lizards. Yeah. And meanwhile I like look over my shoulder at him and make sure his back is turned, and I like just dump all of this stuff on top of these things through the grated cage, and I just like set them on fire, and I feel like I like step back very satisfied, and Grieve probably like sniffs the air and is like, what is something burning?
Oh yeah, once the fire hits you, Grieve would hear the skittering as they start skittering about on fire as quick as they can. And then the skittering and the little animal screaming just kind of stops. And you smell, what would be barbecued hybrid lizard scorpion. Whatever that smells like.
Yeah, but, Grieve brings like the repulsor sled over with the cage full of lizards. And like maybe he's thrown a couple branches in there. And he looks at what's going on. And he's just shaking his head. He's like,
that's no way to die, Obana.
Look, those things are not right.
That's no way to die at all.
Mm-hmm. No, those are not right. Not right, even a little bit. Not right. Let's go get to Born's gear.
All right. What's done is done.
Are the scientists crying?
The scientists, yeah, they're now just like shaking because like you just lit stuff on fire in front of them. They're like, oh, they're gonna kill us. This is probably gonna happen, and they're just kind of trying to not be seen. They're shaking. You hear maybe some whimpering, and they're just worried that this person is going to light them on fire.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna light them on fire.
Grieve kind of like lazily waves his slug thrower at them as he.
She'd be happy you don't have stingers, too.
And he, like, turns the sled around and walks out the greenhouse.
All right, and we head up to the Warren's gears.
Sure, we'll say that there is a lift or an elevator or something in this area, because trying to get this lift up the stairs would be...
Would be
a pain in the butt.
I feel like...
In the lift, in close proximity, how is Obana feeling with the fact that she's now cut off from the Force?
Oh, yeah, not great.
Yeah, I would imagine, like, to me, the Force is like this white noise that's always there. Then all of a sudden, it's like your white noise generator got shut off, and it's like really, really oddly quiet for you.
Cotton balls in your ears.
I feel like when the elevator doors open, we see a like tiny little Lothcat kitten just like sitting in the elevator, like it was waiting for us.
Nice.
Now, once you got close to the lizards, your connection to the animal would stop. Correct.
Yes, but it is like my animal companion, so I can't.
You can't see through its eyes and stuff. It's still your best of buddy. It's just you no longer have that magical connection.
Yeah. It recognizes you.
So, yeah. So I think like I stare at the lost cat, and the two of us like kind of make eye contact, and then both of us at the same time just like stare at the lizards. And I don't think I'm like hateful towards the lizards because like they're natural to this planet. I'm definitely weirded out by them. But I do not hate them with the same kind of, like, venom that I hated whatever those messed up things were. Yeah. So I think that I'm just like, huh. And I'm just, like, staring kind of blankly at them, feeling weird.
They're not so bad.
Yeah, I still don't. Yeah, whatever.
At least these ones don't sting you.
It's not about stinging.
Grief's like kind of smiling, sort of like enjoying all of it.
Yeah.
Right, as you guys are making your way towards the door that is marked for the pen, the holding pen. I'm gonna flip a dark side one for a start. And the door opens up, and an extremely well-dressed individual in an officer's suit. This is someone who is very high-ranking. He's got kind of like graying hair. He's very distinguished. And he just stops and he looks at the two of you. He sees the Isalamari. He sees the Lothcat and just stops and stares and goes,
"Who are you and where do you think you are going?"
Oh, I got this. Sorry, that was out of character.
I would love that it's in character. Oh, I got this.
So I am going to do deception, and I'm just going to be like, scientists downstairs, sent us up. We're supposed to see how these two groups of animals interact with each other. Didn't they notify you? Where is it? And I'm going to make a big show of trying to find some kind of, like, data pad, and I'm like, what... Grief. I don't say grief. I just turn. I'm like, do you have the data pack? They told us to, where on earth is this? And I'm like definitely trying to deceive this person into thinking that, it's part of the trials.
Okay. You're going to do your deception roll versus this guy's vigilance, and his vigilance is two red and a yellow.
Dang. Two red and a purple, you mean?
I'm also going to give you an additional black because you guys aren't in any uniforms of any kind. You guys are in street clothes.
Okay,
so I'm black for that.
Can I flip a light 5 point for that?
You can flip a light side point to up your roll. Yeah.
I'm gonna do that.
Fortune favors the bold.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna flip it.
Okay, so that changes one of whatever one green to a yellow.
Yeah. Ooh, not great odds, but.
Ah! They could have been so much worse.
Oh, it could have been one failure.
Yeah, that for what you rolled, yeah.
It's still two bad, reds.
But... Yeah, yeah, it's a failure. But you could have had a couple despair stone in there. That could have been sideways. Very bad. So, yeah, he hears your little spiel and goes,
"That's highly unlikely. And where do you think you're going to take my specimens?"
And he just turns,
"Guards, apprehend them. I do not have time for this tomfoolery."
And, yeah, we're going to be in a little bit of a combat thing.
Here we go.
To make combat easier, so we don't have to roll initiative, all that stuff, we're just going to go back and forth, PC, NPC, PC, NPC.
Sure.
And it'll be the gentleman who's in front of you and one minion group of guards for him. So we'll just start with player characters. Okay. So who's the first act?
Up to you.
If you want me to, I can. That'll give you time to...
Sure.
Okay, so I think, like, so I'm, like, what, engaged with this guy? That's how close I am?
Yeah, he's literally standing, like, right in front of your guys' little cart.
Okay, I pull out my vibro knife and I stab him.
Okay, so that's going to be one red, one purple, because this is an adversary one, so all the attacks against him are upgraded.
Don't you have low brawn?
I do.
I respect it, though. Go against your strengths. It's a unique ploy.
Obana does not care.
One red, one purple.
They give zero Fs.
Oh, shit. This is not going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, okay. one more threat and he would have took the knife from you.
Yeah, so I think I just, like, I lunge forward and... I think he just sidesteps me.
Yeah, he's been around the block. He sees the knife coming in, like, without even, like, breaking a sword. He just steps to the side and you lunge forward with the knife and he just...
Brink, amateur!
And he will go ahead and take a move against you with his own vibro knife.
Oh.
So, yeah, pulling from his hip, he's going to pull his own knife. Do you have any melee defense or anything? I know you have, like, armor and that kind of stuff. I know that adds to the rule.
I have defense one.
Oh, snap.
Okay, so that means you get one black dice added to your thing.
Yeah.
All right. He's got visibility.
Nice.
He's not super great with the knife, but there we go. Whoa! Okay, then. Wow.
Fuck.
That was an impressive roll. Alright, I rolled one yellow, one green, two purple, and a black. And I got two successes, two threats, and a triumph. So alright, so that is going to be just 5 damage to you. It's got pierce two, so it's gonna skip past 2 of your soak.
So, can you remind me what soak?
Sure. What is your soak number?
I think it's just 1.
No, because your armor would have a soak value, wouldn't it?
Mostly, yeah. Most likely you'd have it, because it's based off of your brawn and some other things. So unless you have really low brawn.
Oh, my brawn is 1.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. You might have it, really. So you probably have 2, I would guess. What does it say on your character sheet?
Well, I mean, I just put, like, my armor has soak of 1.
Yeah, okay, so I'm pretty sure the vibroblade pierces all of your soak.
I know, yeah, but, like, is soak brawn plus armor? Or,
yes.
Okay, then.
Yeah, so you took 2. Okay, so since it has pierce 2, that means it eats up all of your soak, and it's 5 and it's 5 straight damage to you.
Okay, that's fine.
Right. With the triumph, I'm going to go ahead and roll on the critical thing here. He's got vicious 1. So I'm going to go ahead and just add 10 to my critical roll. Oh, not roll ship critical. You're not a ship. And roll. 95. Oh! Wow. Okay. So we got a 95, which is at
the
brink.
Did you cut my arm off?
No.
We didn't. It's pretty bad. You're going to suffer one strain each time you perform an action.
Oh, that's not terrible.
So it's every time... Yeah, so, like, if you move and attack, that means you did two strain in that round on off of you.
Okay, that's fine.
So every time you do anything, it's one strain. So, yeah, with, like, just a quick flip over the wrist, their knife comes out, and they just lodge it into your shoulder and twist it, and you just feel pain in that back shoulder area as the knife digs in and he pulls it out. And now we're on to grief.
So I have a question first before we... jump over. Is my cat considered a PC in terms of like?
Can it attack?
Yeah, it can.
We'll let it have its own round this time, but I think I'll just give you an extra action next on your next attack. We'll give it its own attack after Grieve, but when sounds it comes good. Your turn again, you can have your action and cat action at the same time.
Okay, right. Sounds good.
All right, so Grieve.
So the two of them are engaged, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if I shoot at her, it's going to be an extra red.
There'll be a red because you might accidentally hit them.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a group of minions, right?
Yeah, there are some armored group guards.
Dudes.
Okay. Yeah, coming at you as well.
Okay. Real quick check. Are they wielding slug throwers or are they all like...
Yeah, they are okay. Slug throwers on them, and they're coming your direction.
Okay. I'm gonna spend a maneuver to maybe get behind something.
Okay.
And then I will spend the what is it, two strain to for a second maneuver.
Okay.
And to aim. And I'm going to shoot at this group of dudes. This group of security people. Okay, and what's the difficulty going to be?
We'll say it's short range, so they're pretty darn close. So it's going to be two purple.
Two purple, okay. Let me just double check about everything here. Shoot. Perfect, okay, I'm going to roll. Hey! So that's... I shoot this group of security guards for 10 damage.
All right. So, yeah, Grieve, you take out two of those guards pretty darn easily.
Bang, bang. So, nice.
Yeah, so two rapid, I assume a couple rapid-fired shots right to the cranial regions, and they just slump to the ground.
Nice.
And
incredible.
Then, yep. Now
you messed with the wrong Duros.
And then the one guy who didn't fall, who just saw two of his best lifelong friends. They had grown up together. They played on the same baseball team as kids. They actually had a triple wedding when they were in their.
Are we the good guys? I'm not sure if we are.
It each named their firstborn sons after each other. He's going to go home and tell them that their daddies will never come home. But he's going to try to avenge his friends.
He won't be going home to tell them anything.
Hey, he's the hero of his story right now.
Yeah.
Yikes. He's going to avenge his friends, tell a story. It'll be one of those things.
Rough.
I always like making people feel bad for killing nameless minions.
Right? I mean, you got to. Nice. Well, I mean, yes, that's my turn, so...
Yep, okay, so he's going to take his shot at... See, now I wonder, do I give him a red? Because the three of you guys are really close together. So I like the idea of him accidentally hitting him. So I'm gonna throw it out there, because I think that'd be funny.
If he hits his boss.
Exactly. So that's three. He's got his three green against one red and a purple. He's going to take an aim to give himself a blue. And yeah, roll away. Two advantages. He does not hit. So yeah, he's worried about his friends. He's thinking of the eulogies he's going to have to tell in a few days. And he's trying not to hit his boss. And his shots just go wide. And we'll give a Lothcat or whatever we're calling it, Kitty Cat, an attack right now. And then we'll be back at the top.
I think Kitty Cat goes for this lone minion.
Okay.
I think Cat, its name is Cat now. I think Kat just like leaps forward.
Okay.
And uses their teeth and claws attack, which is a brawl.
Okay.
So it's engaged. So what would that be against?
That's two purple on a check when you're doing melee against someone like that. Okay. Or brawl, I'm sorry.
So just two purple.
Uh-huh. Against whatever their little scratchy ability is.
Yep. That's just straight two versus two. Mm-hmm. Oh, a success. Oh, three.
three threats?
Threats, but... okay. So damage is... five damage.
Okay, wow. Okay.
It's critical is two.
Well, if you had advantage, you could have got
critical. Advantage goes to critical. Say it. Yeah. Sorry. So it pierces two.
Oh, it pierces two. Okay. So that, okay. Well, that's like half that guy's HP or half that guy's wounds.
And it knocks him down.
That's an ability it has?
Yeah, knockdown.
How does it get knocked down? How does it trigger knockdown?
His teeth and claws when he attacks. It's brawl, damage 4, crit 2, range engaged, pierce 2, knockdown.
Hmm. Does knockdown have to be triggered by something? Hmm. Well, I mean, I like the idea of him being a cat in his face and him just falling backwards. But
okay. Yeah, I think that's kind of how I was picturing it.
Yeah, that works for me. So I would say that this cat just leaps out and latches on to this poor guy's face and starts clawing and biting at him. And I'm going to go with the three threats is that in this flailing about, he just takes the cat and flings it deep into the lab away from them. And it's going to get kind of knocked into a cage and it's going to be kind of stunned a little bit. And we're going to have it skip one round because it got flung over.
Yeah, that's fine.
But now we're back on Obana's turn. They just saw their cat get thrown across the room after biting someone in the face.
So what would happen if I were to, like, shoot the guy that I'm engaged with?
You would roll against the one purple for short range, and then...
I think it's an extra purple because you're engaged.
Yeah, I guess it's true, because he's basically stabbing you right next. Yeah, so it'd be two purple.
Okay.
And then you would take strain as you're making any motions, so...
Yep. Yep. So it's two purples.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. It's one red, one purple. He's an adversary one. It upgrades.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. One red, one purple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me just take a look here. Yeah, and I can't use any of my force powers because these damn lizards are right here.
That's correct.
Ooh.
Oh yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I think I just like shoot him.
Okay.
Pull out the gun and shoot him.
That shot.
Ah! Ha ha!
This is amazing.
It's two successes and a despair, but it's not the failure of the despair. It's just like the
bad thing of the despair.
Of the despair.
So you do hit him, but something. Something bad happens.
Okay. So I hit him for 9 damage.
Okay. Defense. He's got 2, 6, 7. Okay. So yeah, you take a shot at this guy, maybe in his chest or gut region, and it just doubles him over. And as he falls back, he starts to pull himself away. He's just bleeding from his stomach. He pulls out his data pad and he pushes the button. And then you guys just hear klaxons as an all-out alarm has been sounded right now. And you just hear this overwhelming sound. And I would say right now, if you guys want to do non-combat-y things, because he's basically disengaging the other guys on the ground with blood in his eyes and stuff. So if you guys want to break combat and make a run for it, that is not... You don't have to kill them right now to escape combat.
Sure.
I'd like to take a strain to move away from these lizard guys so that
I'm going to interject.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sorry. Remember, yeah, you have to take a strain because you didn't move or anything, so you take one strain for shooting.
Yeah, I did mark that.
Okay. Grieve sees how grievously wounded Obana is, and you know, gets out from Grieve gets out from the cover that he took. You know, mm-hmm. holsters pistol, goes over and grabs the cage and brings it on over to Obana, and then picks Obana up and just like drops them onto the repulsor sled with the lizards.
Her happy place, or their happy place.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not moving now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we either go for the dogs or we split.
Go for the dogs.
Going for the dogs.
Go for the dogs.
And like, I turn the repulsor sled around and like barrel towards the Vornskier pins.
Okay, so yeah, the Vornskier pins. You see four Vornskier that are just kind of growling and moving back and forth in their large pins, kind of like what the Fonsters were in, but larger, because clearly they're larger, and they're just pacing back and forth, eyeing you and just looking around and not sure exactly what's going on. They're a little agitated from all the, you know, the screaming and the gun shooting and all that kind of stuff, but there's four of them there.
So I think at this point, I'm going to get off the cage of the lizards, and can I scramble kind of like far enough away from these lizards that they aren't affecting me anymore?
Yeah, because it's only 30 feet, so, or, you know, 10 meters. So I could say that Grief parked far enough away that even if you told him to back up a little bit, you could feel your connection to the Force kind of just click back on once you hit that magical 10-meter point, and you could feel that regular feeling you used to have.
Okay, so if I have the time to do so, I'm going to, I have a talent called Animal Empathy.
Mm-hmm.
So it allows me to add a force die to the to my check.
Okay.
To handle or tame animals, and so I think I want to. Well, we need to break them out. How bad are the, like, how big are the locks on it? Is it like?
Well, they're just like cages, like you'd see at like a. At a vet, they're just caged in there. The animals can, they're not locked, like, because they didn't expect anybody to come steal them. They're just regular animal cages.
Okay, so I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to basically try to like tame them.
Okay.
Like into like coming with us, and I'll like open all the doors immediately after kind of performing this check.
Okay.
So that would be, I believe, a xenology.
Okay. Remember, check. You have a light. You have light side points to flip. And this is, you know, technically getting to the end of the adventure. So if you want to flip something, to use it.
Yeah, sure. Well, no, I can't actually, because I have two yellow, so I can't really upgrade that.
Well, if you do flip it, you get an additional green.
Oh, okay. Are you okay with that, Max?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a rule. That's how I've always done it.
Okay. Yeah. And that's versus, like, is that a easy check, or is it, like, how difficult?
It'll just be against, they only have two green for discipline, so two purple.
Okay. All right. Yes. Okay.
Nice.
So, I got a triumph, two successes, a disadvantage, and I rolled a, dark side point. So, I can actually, use... the dark side to like add successes or advantages to the check.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think like, I mean, I already was successful, so I think I'll just make it an advantage.
Sure. Remember the take strain from doing this?
Yep. Yeah. I've been adding that.
Sure. So what does it look like when, Obana, they connect with these wild dogs?
So I think what I do is I sit down like kind of in the middle of all four, and Grieve is probably like, why are you sitting down? We have to do this. We have to like get these things out here quick. Mm-hmm. And as I sit down, all four of them like lean down and put their heads on their paws, on their like front paws, watching mm-hmm. me. And then like I shut my eyes, and I think there's like almost like a moment, like it's not a full minute or anything like that. It probably only lasts a couple seconds, but like it almost like time slows down for a second. And there's that moment of connection with these enormous like beasts, like dog beasts. And with my eyes still shut, I stand up and I open each cage one at a time. And as I do, and the animals come out, I like place a hand on each of their heads. And, then I open my eyes and, they seem like a slightly darker shade of gray than they did before for, you know, that moment. And, yeah. I just say, let's do this.
Yeah, and so you have
my like nervousness and my like kind of hyperactivity, like all that energy that I'm normally expelling is suddenly like down to zero. I am completely calm and I'm just like, let's do this.
Okay.
And so they follow me and we get them.
You guys start, yeah. Are you still going with the sled idea? Are you going with they're running alongside of you?
We need to get out of here fast. So
okay. Yeah.
We have a repulsor soon.
All right.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's this scene of the two of you, four, you know, giant Vornskier dogs, a handful of Yosemari on, in my head, I imagine that they're on little bonsai tree versions of their bigger trees, kind of just sitting there. With a loth cat all running through this loading area of this pen where the pen would be where they were probably loading in the animals. So you have a direct shot to get outside.
We need a good line. We need a good one liner here.
That's all you.
Yeah.
You're always good at those.
I'm terrible when I'm put on the spot.
Well, we'll say that there's this scene, this pullback shot of this little group, this little animal group running out of this base as klaxons are going. The soldiers that were called up see that Grand Moff Viking is laying on the ground with a wound in his stomach. And they immediately start tending to him because he's more important than, you know, a couple of rat, you know, lizards and some stupid dogs. They're not really worried about all of that. They haven't gotten down to the, you know, the cage scientists or the inferno that we left downstairs. But you guys get back to the woods and we'll just jump forward to you getting back to Greaves' ship. Now, are you taking these Vornskiers with you guys? Are you letting them go back free? What is happening now that we're back at the ship?
I think I just, like, thank them and tell them to wreak havoc when they can and when they are safe.
Yeah, no, definitely. Greaves, I mean, Greaves of two minds, and they both kind of support the same point, as he doesn't want a pack of dogs on his vessel, on his ship, and two, because he actually is like a survivalist type person. He's like, there's no way we'd find a planet that would, you know, accommodate these dogs.
Okay.
Better to leave them in their natural habitat and just let them free.
And I have a little bit of an idea of what we can do with that last light side point.
Sure.
Is if we can flip that and say that what perhaps I didn't realize was setting that fire and locking those people in the cage. Nobody's there to put that fire out. And it sets some dangerous equipment on fire. And as we're flying off, it explodes.
Oh, wow.
And we just see the entire
that's a lot of dead
facility
people.
Blow
okay.
up.
We'll have, yes, as you guys are standing there, you're watching the Vornskiers kind of go back into their natural habitat. Maybe you guys have moved the Isamari back into the trees. And you pause for a moment thinking about everything that just happened. And you just hear like an explosion and a plume of smoke coming from the direction of the lab.
Greave looks... Yeah, sorry, good.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, Greave looks like visibly concerned when that happens as you're describing this.
All right, and as before you guys get on the ship, is Obana getting on the ship with Greave? Are they staying behind?
I think Obana hears the sound and kind of looks at Greave and is just like, So, you got room for two in there, right? Definitely room for a second person and maybe a cat. Good cat, promise. Real sweet.
The Duros looks over to the co-pilot seat where Oban is sitting. He's like,
"Welcome to the Rictus Grin. You'll do just fine."
And as you guys get prepared to leave, you hear a kind of comical honking of a very small horn, and you see a small speeder coming from almost out of nowhere, almost like it popped out of a plot hole. And it kind of rolls up to the ship, and it honks, and it's what you see, a little driver, and he's waving. He goes,
excuse me. What? Excuse me. Are you like Peeve Bonduli? Peeve Bonduli.
What?
Whoa. Hold on. Are you Green Grundle? I can't read this writing, my fellow bean. All right, check it out, my fellow bean. Does your name like anything like this? Tis so hot out here. It's like I'm getting the space sweats, you know? You know where the heat's starting to set into my body parts, and I'm starting to sweat like a snow cone on Mustafar.
I guess I slow the vehicle down. Are we like still like pretty close to the surface?
You were like basically starting to hover and lift, and then
right,
this guy
cruise comes out mode. Of
nowhere. Yeah.
I slow down and like bring the ship to a stop. I guess I'll land it. Like drop the ramp down. But I'll have like my hand on my slug thrower, and like I'll step out. I'm sorry. What?
I'm a cash and carry ambassador here. We are a delivery service, and I was told to find. What's your name?
Undola.
Yeah. Okay.
Grieve Undola.
Hey, Mr. Undell, I have a package from you. It's from Count Undil. He wanted to make sure you got it ASAP. That's ASAP. As soon as possible. Yeah, I've been, dude, I've been like looking for you for like over 6 months now. You really should make it easier for me to find you. Like, I don't know, maybe like get a home address or something. Oh, that would make my life a whole lot easier. And it would make your life a whole lot easier too. You'd get packages a whole lot sooner and probably more often.
Look, right, I don't want it.
Look, my fellow bean, just take the box. Take it so I can walk away.
If I take that box, I'm probably going to be in trouble.
If I don't deliver this box, I'll get in a whole lot of trouble, and I can't afford that to happen again. Yeah, that would be a big pooper. Look, I don't need to lose my job because of you. I don't want to lose my job because you're in, like, this gnarly negative nosedive of a mood, okay? Okay, look, see here. I'm just gonna set this box right here on the ground. Yeah, just right here. Real nice, right here. Yep, you see, right here. You make peace with this box, just like woosah or whatever magical mumbo jumbo it is to make you calm. And just make peace with it, okay? And I'm by contract supposed to say, you have a great day, and for all your shipping needs, cash and carry, we are here for you. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to be in these jungles anymore. Bye-bye.
Yeah, watch out for the stingers.
Yeah, and he just speeds off in his speeder, and there's a nondescript little wooden box sitting there on the ground.
Greaves, like, imagine like the shot of just like his boots, his booted feet next to this box, and it's just, then he's just like staring down at it.
All right, and he like turns to Obana. you're welcome on the ship, but if I take that box, you might not have wanted to actually stay on that ship.
I think Obana just kind of like shrugs.
And yeah, Greaves like really, really mulling it over. And then finally, after a bit, he finally like bends over and picks up the box. He pulls out his knife, I guess, and like slices open the top.
Sure. Inside of it is a nice velvet sheet laying there. And as you peel back that velvet sheet, resting very comfortably, is a handheld weapon you've never really seen before. It kind of looks like a slug thrower, but it's not. It's, it has like a small energy pack on it. And there's just a small card from the count that says, "For your services, and in case I need you, I will call."
The lug nuts on this guy.
And then he stops, looks at this wild thing in his hand, and turns to Obana.
How do you feel about crime lords?
I think my eyes narrow, and as you say that, I think Kat hops up onto your shoulder and kind of perches there, and maybe a claw goes in just a little too tightly on your shoulder, but it kind of purrs a little bit, and it's just like, and it settles on your shoulder, getting quite comfortable. It seems to like you. And I raise an eyebrow, and I'm like, I guess Kat's decided.
This is going to be the death of me. And I swap out the slug thrower with this new fancy fandangled thing. Tuck it into my holster and head back on up the ramp.
Yeah, so our last shot is the Rictus Grin leaves this planet as this base is just on fire, and we see one other ship leave this place as well, heading in a different direction, not really paying attention too much to the Rictus Grin heading off, but another ship leaves as well, because named characters don't die in fires,
right?
He's got a better death. So awesome. That is our adventure for Grieve and Obana. That was very awesome. Thank you both so much for coming on.
This was so fun.
This was amazing. Thank you, Dwayne.
Yeah, this was so good. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Before I let you guys leave, if people want to find you on the interwebs or stuff that you're doing, where do they go? Where do they find you?
You go ahead, Bruce Maths.
Okay, well, like we said before, I'm Matthias. I play Grieve Andula. You can find me on Twitter at PM Grelli, PMGRELLI. And what do I do? Well, I don't do tons, to be honest, but I do help out with some graphic work, web development work for a pretty well-known podcast I've called RPG Casts.
And my name is Tess. I played Obana K. I am the creator of RPG Casts. I run a podcast called I Am Here, which is, I don't know when this episode is going out, but anyway, I run a podcast called I Am Here, and I also run International Podcast Month, which is every September. Yeah, other than that, this was really awesome. Dwayne, I love playing with you. It's so nice to play with you and giving also Maths and I the opportunity to play together.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, we really love you.
Yeah, this was so much fun. I'm glad we were able to make this work.
Yeah, so I can be found on Twitter at @RPG_casts.
Thanks for listening to the Flight Risk Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please head over to the podcast service of your choice and leave us a review. Every review helps more people find the show. If you want to help the show out, please spread the word on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Flight Risk Pod and on Facebook. If you want to help us in a monetary fashion, you can head over to Patreon and help support the show.